Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I really think that there are more of us than not who have tried or attempted to water ski. I learned to water ski when I was in my 30s. I had been invited by a friend's family to join them one summer and then several after on the Colorado River. They had a powerboat and wanted me to try water skiing. All the family knew how, and it was one of the central ways this family spent their time together. I was nervous to say yes, but I wanted to try. I said yes, even though I was afraid. And I was told the best way to learn was on glassy water. So the next morning, we left the dock at 6 a.m. The sun was bright, still, in the air, warm, and the water glassy. We sped out into the middle of the river. A spot was chosen, and the engines were turned off. I was given a life jacket and told to jump into the water. I distinctly remember my tremendous anxiety, my fear of the unknown, so much so that I did not want to step out of the boat. The boat was swaying gently and my heart was beating fiercely. But somehow I got out of the boat and jumped into the cool water. The skis were handed down to me and I was told to put them on, grab the tow rope handle, curl up in the ball, and when the rope was all the way out, to yell, "Hit it!" Okay. And I was told to remember the water would be coming at me like a powerful wide hose at full blast, but it would lift me up. I thought I got myself ready and yelled, "Hit it!" Instead of bouncing up, I felt the entire Colorado River on my chest. I let go of the tow rope so I would not lose my arms. This happened a few more times, when suddenly the friend who invited me, frustrated that I was not getting up onto the water, jumped into the water yelling, "What the hell are you doing?" She swam to me, looked at me as I was pathetically bobbing in the water, and said, "You are not in a tight enough ball. Your knees need to be right up to your chest, your arms that close. Okay, that looks right. Now yell, hit it." In obedient faith, I yelled, "Hit it!" And now I bounced up onto the water. I was water skiing. Oh my God. I was on top of the water. It was exhilarating, magnificently spiritual, maybe like walking on water. And I was no longer feeling defeated or terrified. Today's gospel describes a moment when the apostles are stuck on the high seas, defeated and terrified. We are invited to enter this scene to identify with what Peter and the other apostles were feeling, because we all have had moments of feeling overwhelmed, defeated, or terrified. It might have been a moment when you received shocking news. Or you might be scared today or nervous about the future. And there are moments when you cannot see God because of the darkness. There are days when you get out of bed and are immediately reminded of the challenges you must face that day. The phone calls you need to make, or work, or the appointments that need your attention. Sometimes the feeling is like wondering where to find a life jacket. When I left being a nun, when my marriage collapsed, the future definitely felt terrifying. But I knew I needed to get out of the boat, get up, and look at the possibility of holding the hand of God, who was reaching out even as I felt like I was drowning. In today's gospel, Peter was more than overwhelmed. He felt for his life and he yelled. But he didn't yell, "Hit it," prepared to water ski. Peter yelled to Jesus. The glassy lake of the night before had become a terrible storm, created by atmospheric conditions of this long 7-mile by 3-mile lake with canyons on one end capable of creating gale force winds. This sea had become very dangerous, and the apostles were helpless at the mercy of conditions beyond their control, just like we can feel at times. At the mercy of outside conditions beyond our control. The sun was coming up. They could not see it or feel it. The skies were still dark and cloudy, but a figure was coming toward them, walking on top of the water. The scene of Jesus walking on the water is recorded in 2 other gospels. It's so important. It is recorded for our benefit and for us to use in ministering to others. This story is described in Mark and John, but in Matthew's gospel, it is the only one that includes Peter's attempt to walk on the dangerous water. The other accounts made sure we knew how scared the apostles were, even if we don't like remembering terrifying moments. But the heart of the event is the interchange of Peter and Jesus. And this desperate encounter began with Peter shouting, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, this request had no rational validity. But there was last-ditch assumption on Peter's part, that if Jesus is Lord of all, he can do it. That whatever Jesus commands, Jesus makes possible. So when Peter yelled, it was in the readiness of an obedient faith. Peter was desperately ready for this figure to be Jesus. It had to be Jesus. Peter believed anything was possible. So Peter waited for a command. Because the commands of Jesus, the words of Jesus taken seriously, create miracles. They open up a reservoir, like a huge lake of divine resources, of possibilities, of a way forward through any terrifying darkness or debilitating fear. When that command was spoken, come, Peter got out of the boat, stepped out in faith onto the swirling sea, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this about Peter. Peter had to leave the boat and risk his life on the sea in order to learn both his own weakness and the power of God. If Peter had not taken the risk, he never would have learned the meaning of faith. The road to faith passes through obedience to the call of Jesus. Unless a definite step is demanded, the call vanishes in thin air. And if people imagine they can follow Jesus without taking this step, they are deluding themselves. So, if Peter had remained in the boat and not taken the first step, his faith would have been worthless. Faith is an action, not a feeling. In that moment of stepping out in faith, Peter became frightened by the winds and the rough seas, and he did begin to sink. He yells again, cries out to Jesus, and is rescued. In a commentary by James D. Newsom, we hear, this is not the story of a skeptic who habitually doubts, but the story of a faithful follower who becomes overwhelmed by the circumstances surrounding him, who begins to lose his nerve when he discovers the odds stacked up against him, but who from Jesus finds a steady, delivering hand. That is a key to this story. Peter becomes a mirror for us in which we are able to see ourselves and take heart. We can find courage from his daring response to Jesus' command to believe. That as we step out in faith, step out of whatever boat we are in, Jesus reaches out to us. Even when our faith falters, Jesus says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Today, we might be in the boat with the other 11 apostles, sitting in fear, on the edge, sitting in shock and horror at the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, shocked at the racism that harms the fabric of our nation, shocked at the war of words among world leaders, scared of the turbulent seas swirling around us. Yet, we live in a covenant with God. Jesus is in our midst, suffering with us, even as he is calling us to step out in faith, saying to us, do not be afraid, but be my hands and my voice. We are on rough waters indeed. The need to step out in faith is greater than ever. Be not afraid. What Peter did impacts us all. Go ahead. Get out of the boat. We have a life jacket of amazing grace. Prepare yourself to say to God, hit it. And don't be surprised to feel the water beneath your feet as you step out in faith, in hope, and in love. Amen.